You'd bow with me for a word of prayer, please. Holy God, I come to you at this time and we just want to ask your blessing upon the words that we speak, that the word is true and accurate and it may always glorify you and bring to us the things that we need to be aware of. We need you. We love you and we care for you as you cared beyond words for every one of us. And so we come now in full assurance of faith and hope in your Son to hear a message from your word. And it's through Jesus that we pray. Amen. This morning, titled the lesson, Lights Among the Darkness, and I want you to open your Bible to Philippians 2. I want to begin there before we go back to Matthew. Philippians chapter 2. You know, we're just a couple of weeks out and we're going to have a new year start. One of the things the new year seems to bring is resolutions. People have resolutions. They fly all around us. I don't know if maybe some of you have resolutions. But I don't know if you've ever thought about it for just a moment, that a resolution, it's an acknowledgement. It's an acknowledgement that we fail during the year, and we know we ought to do better. And then, if you'll think of it even further, the sad part about a resolution is that we're talking about something very weak within us, and we're going to use that weakness to overcome. That's sad. And we need to think of it that why resolutions always fail? Because the weakness of man always fails. And so I want to give you something greater this morning, and you know that in not to get caught up in the world's ideas. And I'm going to show you why we don't need resolutions, but that you and I are lights among the darkness. And it's going to get real plain as we go through these verses here. We are in Christ Jesus. And I know sometimes we say words like that, and they probably get old. Or maybe they don't get old. We just hear them so much, it just kind of doesn't ring the same tone. Being in Christ Jesus, we're not without help. We're not a bunch of people that are on this earth to struggle on our own and hopefully that we can finally hit something here or hit something there. We're not on this earth to pull our own selves up. We are the people of God in Christ Jesus who have come to His name and believe that He is the resurrected Christ for us. And we've been resurrected with Him when we were united with Him in baptism. And that's supposed to have meaning. Well, one of the ways we look at that in Philippians chapter 3, or chapter 2, excuse me, look at beginning in verse 13. Paul says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Right there's the difference. If you believe that, for it is God who is at work in you. God is at work in His people. Individually, He's at work. But notice what He says about it. Both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Both to will. God is trying to strike you and I in a desire. He's trying to get us to have a will about it. That have some desire for the right things that we can work His good pleasures. The things that are pleasing. The things that are good in His sight. And so God's at work in us. And He's trying to get us to desire the right thing and give us the power to do it. And sometimes, you know, we look at these verses and we've read them and we say, oh, I, you know, I see it right here. God's at work in you. The problem is we're working independently of God. We're not working with God. A lot of times, that, you know, we make this resolution, we make this thought, we come up with this, and we work independently. We think it's up to us. And you lose total sight that it's all God at work in His people. And He's trying to help. Well, one thing that rules out, verse 14, he continues and he says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. This is what we're called to. If God who's at work in us, then that leaves out the grumbling, disputing things. You know, don't be questioning things. That's what disputing means. God's at work in you. And God's trying to accomplish something within you. And he says, do all things without grumbling and disputing. You know, when a person grumbles and disputes things, they forget the relationship. They forget who they are in relationship to God. And they forget God's work in them. And so he calls us to do all things without grumbling and disputing. Look at verse 15. Here's the reason. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Did you get this? You see, when you do everything without grumbling and disputing, you're proving something. You're proving yourself to be blameless. You're proving yourself to be innocent. You're proving yourself to be a child of God. And you're doing it all in the midst, he says, of a crooked and perverse generation whom you appear as lights in the world. We appear as lights. God has us in this world for a reason. And as you and I, as children of God, we need to be showing that this is who we are. We live in a world of darkness. We live in a world of perversity. We live in a world that's crooked. And somewhere in all of that darkness, there has to be a light. That's the child of God. That's who we are in all of this. And so you and I, if we would submit to the Lord, you will allow God to work what God's trying to work in you around all those people that you walk among, all those people that you live among. He says that you appear as lights in the world. Why? Because we're committed to Jesus. We are committed and we know it's God who's at work in us. And we have to appear in these lights because we know God has standards. And we look at those standards and we accept those standards and we live by those standards. And God uses His standards in us. And He uses His work in us to appear as lights in this crooked, dark world. That's who we are. And we forget that. But that's not all. Look at verse 16. He says, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. Paul was concerned that all of his preaching and teaching was for naught. You know, I stay concerned about that too. I stay concerned with it for me. I stay concerned with it for you. That all the work that we're trying to do and all the things we're trying to accomplish and all the lessons we're trying to give, we're trying to help you make it to the end. And I don't want it to be in vain. Paul didn't want it to be in vain. But notice at the first part of verse 16, holding fast the word of life. Holding fast the word of life. What are you and I called to do by God? Hold fast to the word of life. How else are you going to find any power to overcome anything? You're not going to find it in a resolution. You're going to find it by faith in God that God is working in me. He's working through me. And I need to hold fast to the Word of God, because when I hold to the Word of God, it helps you and I align with God. And the more I come into line with God, guess what? You appear as lights in the world. That's what God's trying to do. That's what God is doing with His people. You and I've got to hold fast to God's Word. And we've got to let it speak to us. We've got to let Him talk to us through His Word, so we will line up and be what we've been called to be. Lights among the darkness. God at work in you and I. And see, if you're not holding fast to the Word of God, there's no way your life's going to line up. So you're going to have to go, and you're going to have to submit yourself to the things that come out of darkness. See, that's what happens when the world influences us. We're letting the darkness, we're letting the perverse and the crooked tell us, well, this is the way you do it. And God says, no, this is who you are, and you've got to hold fast my word. Well, knowing that, come back to Matthew 5 that was read a few moments ago. Matthew chapter 5. And as we read here in Matthew 5, you have to remember who Jesus is speaking to. He's talking only to His disciples. He's not talking to the whole communities. He's talking to His disciples. Now, everyone else is sitting around and they're listening to what Jesus is teaching. But Jesus is addressing the disciples. And look what He tells them in verse 13. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men." To my disciples, Jesus said, "You are." He didn't say you're going to be. He didn't say we're working on you to be. You are the salt of the earth. Now, what do you think salt is for? Well, you know, you'll have your answers. But let me tell you this. Think of it this way. Salt influences. Salt is never influenced by outside sources or other sources it's mixed with. Salt is the influencer. You take food and you prepare that meal. Why do you put salt in that pot of, you know, soup? Whenever you get your meal out and you taste it, and what do? People put salt on. Why are they doing that? Because the salt influences the whole. Have you ever had bad salt? One time in my life it did. I had bad salt and I put it on my food and it couldn't taste any difference, but more on my food and more. I took the lid off, I poured it in my hand and I tasted it and it was tasteless. If salt becomes tasteless, what use is it? You are the salt of the earth. If you're not influencing things around you, if you're not influencing the people around you for holding to the Word of God, that God's at work in you, that you can appear as lights in the world, then what influence are you? Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth. If it becomes tasteless, how can it be made salty again?" You and I, if we will hold fast to the Word of life, and you start being as God said you be, and let God work in you the way He wants you to work, where you have some desire for God holding to His Word, you now become an influence of those that are around you, and you give the darkness around you an opportunity to do better, because you are that influence. Because God is at work in you, trying to reach. And you let that Word of God be what it is. See, you're giving others an opportunity. We don't think of ourselves as that way. See, many times we kind of go over these verses quickly. We don't see, am I an influence? Better be. Jesus said, my disciples, they are salt of the earth. My disciples are. Rest of the world's not. Well, continue on, verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. Guess what else you are? You are the light of the world. And notice what he says, you're not a light. You are the light. God is light. There's no darkness in him. If I'm walking with God and I'm doing things without grumbling and disputing, I'm proving myself to be part of God and the light. I am the light. Jesus said, my disciples, you are the light. You're the light among the darkness. And so what happens is that when people see you, they should be seeing something greater. You are the light of the world, he says in verse 14. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. I mean, you see it at night. You drive around. You know, you get outside of Jeff City and you start coming to it. You know what you can see in the skyline before you ever get here at night? You know there's a city there, something big, because it's lighting up the whole skyline. Well, he said, you know what? A city set on a hill, he said, it can't be hidden. You know what? If there was no light, what would there be? Darkness. That's all that there would be out here. And so if you and I aren't willing to yield to the Word of God to tell us where and how to walk in the light so we can be an influence of the crooked and perverse things that are going on around us, what value are we? We ought to be visible. We ought to be seen. And that's not going around and shouting at everybody and trying. I mean, it's just your attitudes. It's the way you live. It's the way you approach things. You are the light of the world. And everything around you should be exemplifying. This is God. This is God. And you know what people start realizing? I know why you do what you do. I know why you don't do what you do. Because they understand there's something greater within you at work. And again, the opportunity for the world to see. See whom? Let's continue on. Verse 15. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. You are light. It gives light to all. You know what's so amazing there about verse 15? About not putting it under a lamp or a bushel. Trying to think of the best way to say it. Everything that comes in contact with light is beneficial. Because the light benefits everything about it. The light is benefiting us this morning. You're able to see. You're able to go about without stumbling. Well, that's the same thing here. Everyone that is in contact with the lamp benefits. You and I are to be a benefit. But you have to hold to the Word of God. You have to align your life with God. You have to believe it's God who's at work in you. Look at verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Don't hinder. Let the light shine. Let the light shine that whatever you go about doing in your goodness in your life, the things that are beneficial from God's standpoint, guess what he says? It's the way that they get to glorify God. There's something different about those in Jesus. Something different. And so Our major purpose in life is to help people in darkness. You know what? Church, we're the only chance anybody has. Did you know that? And if you and I are getting caught up in all this other stuff that the world comes at us, and they all start saying, oh, this is the way you need to do it, this is the way, and we keep following them as a pattern, you're just spreading the darkness as they're in darkness. And before you know it, everybody's walking in the same darkness. You know, a few years ago, it's still a popular book out, Rick Warren wrote a book, A Purpose-Driven Life. It's used often. It's read by many people. Well, let me tell you something. If I would hold fast to the Word of God, I found right here in just a few verses, I've got a great purpose in life. I don't need some man telling me that. And I've got my purpose. The disciples of Jesus are the salt of the earth. The disciples of Jesus are the light of the world. The disciples of Jesus, those that are in Christ Jesus, God's at work in them. See, I've got purpose. If I would hold fast to the words of life. Well, let's apply this a little bit further real quick. Come over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'll give you a couple of quick examples and then we'll end the lesson there. Too many times we're living on the same level as the lost world and, you know, there's very little help. We're not influencing people. We're not helping anybody. There's no life. They don't see any difference between you and them other than maybe you say, well, I'm going to church, you know. And that's the only thing they see. They see no light. They see no salt. They don't see any difference other than it's where you go. They need to see Christ in me. They need to see Christ in you. And sometimes when you're in a situation, and here in 1 Peter 3, we're going to see just in two verses the power of God working among darkness. Sometimes you're married to someone that's very difficult. Some of you have great difficulties in marriage, and your mate is you know, they can be a terrible problem to you. But you know what? If you know you've got a purpose, did you know you can help? And you know how the number one way you can help if you're in that situation? You can be respectful even though they don't deserve it. I'll show you. Look at verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that if even any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Wives, be submissive. And if you've got a disobedient husband, Peter said they may be won without a word. You don't have to preach at them. You don't have to pound them over the head. You don't have to be anything other than respectful. He said that they will be won without a word. How? By the behavior. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Ladies, your behavior speaks volumes. If you're married to one that's disobedient to the word, and how do you win them? How do you get their attention? How can I be salt and influence, and how can I be light among darkness? He says in verse 2, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. It's all about behavior. You want to hold fast the word of God? Line up. Line up with God. This is what I want, God says. This is how you do it. We look at that today and we say, oh, you don't live with my mate. But you know what I do live with? I live with my God. And my God says, I'm at work in you. And I'm trying to get you to will it and work for what I want you to work for. And I want you to hold fast to my word. And I want you to be light among darkness. And in order to do that, you need to work on your behavior. And make sure your behavior is chaste, loving. Make sure your behavior is respectful. We don't talk about that one. But that's light among darkness right there. Well, if you'll come on down with me real quick to verse 14 of chapter 3. He says, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Right there. A lot of times we're in situations that create a lot of fears. A lot of times we're in situations that people want to intimidate us. People want to try to overpower you. You know what? Peter says, here's what you need to do. If you'll sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, if you'll set Jesus apart in your heart, He's Lord, not me. He's Lord, He's my Lord. It's God who's at work in me, both to will and to work for His pleasure. I'm going to hold to the Word of God. And if I will sanctify, set Christ apart in my heart, He is Lord, it makes a lot of the fears that we have in situations to subside. It gives the opportunity for those to subside. And therefore, you can be light among darkness. You're being salt and you're influencing those around you. Notice he says in verse 15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. You and I have a hope, not a wish. We have hope. And if you'll sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, all of a sudden, light begins to shine. And they're wanting to find out, why aren't you over here with us? Why are you not responding the way we think you ought to respond? Why are you not following our same course? You know what? Now the opportunity has come to tell you about my hope. And my hope is in reality. And the reality is Jesus Christ. Not a name just thrown out there as everybody casually does it today. But a name that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And there's where I've set my hope. And I can tell you about Him, and I can do it respectfully and gently. Not loud, not brash. He says, with gentleness and reverence. You know, one of the greatest things that we see, and I've been through it in my life, is that when you work around the darkness, sometimes someone says something, and what do we get in an argument about? Religion. Religion always leads into arguments. Why? If Jesus is our hope, can't we talk about Jesus in some respectful and reverential ways without trying to stir their pot and to tell them, you know, how wrong they are? What if we told them the truth about Jesus Christ? You're the light of the world. You're light among darkness. You're salt of the earth. You and I are supposed to be making a difference between people that we live with, between people that we work with, the people that we contact through our kinfolk or whoever they may be. It's God who's at work in us, holding fast the Word. And I stress that. We've got to let the Word of God be the Word of God. And so I'm going to have to encourage us. How fast do you hold to God's Word? Do you let the God's Word be the influence? Or do you let the world of darkness be the influence? See, that's why we don't need resolutions. We need one resolve. And one resolve is this. God is at work in me. And I'm going to hold to your Word. and I'm going to let you lead me in the paths, and I'm going to let you grow me, and I'm going to let you be the strength and the power for me to overcome things. I will walk with you. That is the only resolving that we need to have within our hearts. And everything else will work from that point. We have a great opportunity in this town, this city. We have a great opportunity to be light. We have a great opportunity to be salt. Because we do have the truth of God's Word. And we can say, here's our hope. But you got to set Jesus apart as Lord in your heart. That's where it begins. And that's where it ends.